Well, in this economy, if you hear about an investment that doubles its return, that's a good thing, which is why a new report questions why the province hasn't fully rolled out its full-day kindergarten program. Now, this is according to economist Robert Fairholme, who says for every dollar spent on providing 4- and 5-year-olds with full-day learning, $2 will be returned to the overall economy in what he calls human capital. Now, this is in support of the province of Ontario's decision to do this. Now, not everyone agrees with this assessment, though. The Institute of Marriage and Family Canada has conducted its own study, finding that full-day kindergarten will be very expensive and the results questionable. To tell us more, I am joined by Andrea Morozek, who is the Institute's Manager of Research. Andrea, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So the one report says that $2 out of every $1 of spending sounds like a good investment. What's your position?
Well, it's not an investment. It's actually program spending. So they're taking your tax dollars and my tax dollars, and they're putting it into a very expensive new program. They actually, in the report, say that the full economic benefits will only be realized with a large number of children in that system. That's why they're concerned about partial rollouts. But the point for parents should be that they should have many multiple choices, and many parents won't choose to put their children in this sort of program. To say to them, well, you're not helping us realize economic benefits, is taking away a choice from them and putting pressure on them to join this one-size-fits-all universal system. About those economic benefits, though, I think that there are any number of assumptions in the report that are debatable, and that's why I'm here. Thank you for having me on.
Okay.
You talk about things like they are banking on improvements for kids and that kids will be doing better, will not drop out of school. There's a lot of research to suggest that that may not be the case. Kids don't fare universally well in institutional care. There's some research, perhaps boys don't fare as well as girls. And the bottom line here should be flexibility, once again, and choice for parents. And so really saying to them, this is the way to go, we're going to have these huge universal benefits, is, I think, a bit deceiving.
So in other words, your argument is that it shouldn't be a universal system. If they want to have full-day kindergarten at certain schools, then they should go ahead with that?
Well, they're quite upset right now that the pickup hasn't been as big as they wanted it to be. And also you see some parents saying, no, I would like to do half-day, not all-day. A report like this comes out and says, when you only do half-day, you're actually not helping us to realize the full economic benefits. The economic benefits, by the way, they're tying it into not just how children fare, but also the fact that, for example, both parents will be working. This mm-hmm. is the kind of thing where if you choose not to, or if you choose to work part-time, they won't realize their full economic benefits. Children aren't widgets. We shouldn't be considering this in terms of, improved economies in the first place, but I'm not buying it,
quite frankly. But if there's a government policy that's seen as it's universally applied, in many ways, it's to help the people who need it the most. So if someone can afford to opt out of this, still their taxpaying money might go to help, let's say, low-income people who need to have this full-day publicly funded option, I guess you could say, to help them be members of the economy.
I think the thing is that the benefits of early learning and child care are shown to be the evident for people who are disadvantaged, for those living in poverty. Mm-hmm. What we're doing right now is the exact opposite of that. We're taking every single Ontario resident and saying, here's your program. That may actually bypass people living in poverty. If it's going to be going to a school in Rosedale and just the same as one in Parkdale, is that really the kind of thing that we want to see, these sorts of benefits for people who are otherwise wealthy? The thing that it allows is for wealthy people to be able to choose higher quality, but everybody else has to use the system put forward by the government. I was shocked, actually. I'm always shocked by this, but there's no mention in the report of where the money comes from for this costly system. And again, it's our money, and we have to ask whether we would want the money to be spent this way or whether parents might prefer to have that money in their pocket.
Well, in fact, you suggest a better system would be a direct payout system, where if you something around the area of about $9,000 per family, I think I saw on your website.
That's right.
Now, how would that work?
Well, look, we were highlighting how costly the program is, and we were saying that the money that's being spent on this big all-day kindergarten and the move towards seamless care for younger and younger children, if that were applied to parents, you could get as much as $9,000 per child in your pocket. And my bet is that if it's a way to highlight how expensive the program is, and the money doesn't come from, it doesn't grow on trees, it comes from us. So would parents prefer to have a universal system, or would they prefer some sort of a tax break, a tax credit, or a voucher, and see that money in their pockets? And that would allow them choices. I think parents would know how to spend that money, whether they choose to work, stay home, have a nanny, go to a family member. This is about, I think, parental choice. And when you ask parents, especially of young children, what they want, they don't choose universal systems. That's not at all what they choose. They say they'd prefer to have a spouse or a family member stay home with their kids. So I really see this as a top-down, heavy-handed way of saying, please, you better use this system because look how much it's going to help us.
Now, it is being rolled out, as you said, maybe not as universal as the province was hoping. But what will you be looking for then, either success or failure? How would you chart a successful program over the next little while? How do you chart that?
Well, that's a good question. It would be up to, I think the government will be charting it. They've hired Pascal to write this report, and he has this glowing sort of idea around how successful it's going to be. The report that was released today is, again, also glowing about the success. I think you need to be looking at classroom sizes. That's very concrete. We have some indication already that they're going to be quite high, and that's because the cost of teachers in the schools is also quite high. So to cut costs there, you might see high classroom teacher ratios or student teacher ratios. You'd want to watch and make sure those are low, which makes the program all the more expensive. I think there's other factors for quality in the program, which the government should be tracking in the end. But ultimately, I think the government should can this kind of program because it's not serving parents well.
Andrea, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Andrea Morozek, who is Manager of Research for the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. And today,